If you weren't shouting during the song, I hope it's because you were praying for them that at some point in their lives, they would fully realize the truth of what they were singing about. I remember the moment for me, man. And just being able to finally claim that truth that He's never let me down. When I was lost, God didn't let me down because He had already sent the answer for me. Praise the Lord. That was good. I love that song. Isn't that one of your songs, Sam? Man, Sam's hitting on all cylinders in recent days with these songs and the kids singing them. Praise the Lord. That was good stuff. We sure have a lot to enjoy here in our church, don't we? Not just from the pulpit, but from the choir and from every other aspect of it. There's just so much that we get to come and rest in. I love that I can come to church on a Wednesday night weary and worried and worn out and whatever it may be, and I can just rest and just enjoy all the things that we have here. So praise the Lord for that. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. I want to say this as well. I just piggybacking off of that. I love that I get to enjoy all of this with the opportunities that I'm afforded. Get to sit over there, and I get to sit over there as a lay preacher in a church. And I just get to sit back and listen and be a part of the service in a different way. I'm very thankful for that tonight. Very blessed to have what I have. Very humbled to be allowed to be up here. And so I'm thankful to our pastor, and I'm thankful to the Lord that I have that. And I just appreciate it. Appreciate my church family and all the things that you guys contribute to the bigger picture. And so I'm very thankful for that tonight. All right, well, we'll do some reading. And when we're done, we will transition into the Lord's Supper. And I'm looking forward to that tonight. I'm just excited. I don't know what's coming in 2026, but I want to be optimistic and trust that all of us individually are going to draw closer to the Lord. I want to see God do something in my life. I want to see God do something in my kids' lives. I want to see God do something in all of our lives here. I want to see fruit from the labor. And I'm not rebuking anybody tonight. I'm in it with you. I want to see some fruit in my life from the labor that other men put into my life. So I hope that's everybody's prayer tonight. Philippians chapter 3. Should probably get the message out of the front of my Bible so I can have that ready. Let's read. And I'm going to try and be brief so that we can move on to the Lord's Supper tonight. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." It's safe that he reiterates himself. Why? Because the dogs, the evil workers, and people that seek to tear down what God's building is never going to stop. Those things are always going to keep coming. And so it's absolutely vital that we are constantly reminded of those things. It's easy to come to church and rest in what we have and rejoice in it and enjoy what God does, but if you get too comfortable, you get too complacent, that is when the enemy can slip in, and that's when the dogs and the evil workers can have a foothold. And so he says, it's not grievous for me to say it again. I'm just going to keep saying it until I die. You need to know this. He says, "For we are the circumcision." Don't let other people fool you, is really what he's saying. He says, "which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Just take a mental inventory. What do you consider to be gained to you in this life? Is it your great job, the nice paycheck you take home? Is it the nice car that you drive, the home that you have? what things are gained to you? Is it your reputation? Is it your perceived righteousness? Whatever it is. We should all be able to say with Paul, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can that just be our goal? All right, it's a new year. There's my resolution. There's my goal. I'm going to press toward the mark. If you're saved tonight, you have that high calling. I think we forget that some days. There's so much value, so much virtue. There's so much to that. And sometimes we just forget that there even is a high calling on our lives. Verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. This is not necessarily a Lord's Supper message, but can I just say, as we're in these moments preceding the ordinance that we are going to observe tonight, that very well could be a reflection for you. God, please, can you reveal how I might be otherwise minded? Are the things that you desire to be on my heart and mind, are those the things that are actually there? Or is my mind, is my life clouded with things that don't need to be there? I mean, we could very well just pray that God would give us clarity. Let us take this moment before we enter into another year and say, God, can you please just let me see you clearly and let me focus solely on you tonight. With everything that's taken place in my life right now, I want to be able to see you before I proceed. But I love how he repeats over and over again that this is, it's a mindset. God wants us to be thus minded. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I don't think the enemies of the cross affect us as much as they affected Paul. I can't think of the last time I wept over the fact that somebody opposes my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm really moved that much. And I don't want to just beat myself up tonight. Are you moved that much? Does somebody that opposes Christ actually bother you enough that it stirs something up in your heart? When somebody comes into our church and threatens the unity that we have and comes in and disrupts the peace and the mission, and they come in and they don't participate in nothing, they don't partake, they're just consumers, there's no contribution, does it bother you? Do we do anything about it? Or do we just sit by and let them do their thing? Somebody like that very well could be an enemy. And what are we supposed to do? Mark them. He says this furthermore about them in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They're going to do what they want to do. It has nothing to do with what Scripture states that's true. It has everything to do with what they feel in their gut of, well, this is what's right for me and my family. This is what I'm going to do. That's what they follow. For our conversation, I love, he gives the contrast. That's what they do. Here's what we do. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He really fast-forwarded that picture for us, didn't he? That's what this is all coming to. And we cannot allow things to detract from that. We cannot allow anything to hinder that, whether it comes from within us or whether it's coming from the outside. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for giving us this time. I'm thankful that I get to be up here, Lord, and I pray that the words that are spoken from Scripture tonight would be a blessing to somebody and help somebody, Lord, that you'd strengthen and encourage our church tonight. And Lord, that it would just accomplish what you would desire to accomplish, Lord. God, please prepare us. Please give us clarity tonight. Please help us to take a moment to remember, Lord, that you're not just the God that created us, but you're a God that desired to show us just how much you loved us, and you sent your own Son. You came down and you died for us, Lord. Help us to reflect upon that tonight and the difference that it ought to make in our lives. We love you, Father. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is truly no higher calling than the one that is placed upon the children of God. One by which we are forgiven of our sin, one by which we are granted eternal life, and one by which we may know personally the Savior, Jesus Christ. We have one book by which we live or die by, or at least we should, one book that never gets old, never loses its relevancy or purpose. We have a limited time here. Just try and wrap your mind around this for a moment. We have a limited time here to grow in unlimited understanding of the Lord and all that relates to Him. And then after our time here, we will enjoy an eternity of knowing Him even more. That's why we're supposed to redeem the time. The days are evil. And what we do here matters and has an eternal impact. And when I look at my own life, and sometimes I look around and I say, just don't know if we're doing enough. Why is it that there was a time in our Christian history that people were just slaughtered for their faith? And I mean just, you know, I don't, if you've got a weak stomach, don't read the stories. The things that took place against Christians, hard to even wrap your mind around. All because why? They believed in the Lord. And you think, why would there be such evil and wickedness against those people? Because they were promoting the message of truth, the gospel, so that other people could be saved. And I look at us sometimes and I think, wow, we really get hardly any pushback. When we try and share the gospel with people, it's they just kind of let it go on deaf ears and they really don't care, and nobody really gives you a hard time about it, it just kind of is what it is. Are we doing enough? I mean, Brother Colossa, didn't you say it in your prayer? Lord, if you were to come back right now, number one, let there be nothing between us. But the second thought is, Lord, did I do what you wanted me to do? Jesus said, I know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. There's a must there. We must be about our Father's business. And so it goes back to the statement of there's no higher calling than the one that is placed upon children of God. With this being so, we must then ask ourselves questions concerning the reality of these matters in our own lives and, of course, in our church. Number one, why do we not hear to heed His word? Is truth not being spoken? Is there a lack of direction from Him from this pulpit? Answer the question for yourself. Is there not truth being spoken here? Does God direct us or does he not? And so now we are all under the same condemnation of, why is it that we hear but we don't heed? I feel like we could walk out of here most days and not even remember what the outline was. What was the point that the preacher was trying to get across today? I don't even know. It could be because we're not relaying the message well, or it could be because we don't care what the message was. And if we don't care what the message is, then nothing's going to change. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm not trying to be a jerk tonight. That song, a couple people maybe could have shouted at that. I mean, goodness gracious. You know what I love about preaching? It cuts right down to those dark areas in your heart that you're too afraid to admit. And we should embrace that. Don't let the harsh statements push you away and say, well, he doesn't know. Yeah, we go based upon the things that we know nobody sees. And then we act like we're not guilty of them when we are. And so let it cut deep. Let it have an impact. We should be embracing the preaching. Maybe that is why we're not getting the results that we should be getting, because we're not hearing his word so that we can heed it. Here's another question we can ask. I might not get past the introduction tonight. I'm just going to say that right now. Lord willing, we'll finish up next week. Here's another question you can ask yourself. Why is there no evident changes in our lives when there is enough in one message to change a life? It blows my mind the absolute wealth and depth that is in the Word of God. And I constantly sit back myself and I hear it and I'm like, God, there's just so much there. How am I supposed to, I feel like I'm trying to gather it all in and hold on to it sometimes. And I know that some things are slipping, but can I just say this? Why is it that there is an abundance of messages and very little change when just one message can fundamentally change a life? People should be flocking to come to church and hear truth from the Word of God. We should be flocking to church to hear truth from the Word of God, even though we're already saved, even though we know we're going to heaven. There's still work to be done here. There's still changes to be made in our own lives. There's still progress to be made in our hearts. We will never fully get to know God. What are we doing? Number three. Why do we neglect to follow after, to move forward, to press toward the mark of this high calling placed upon us? Look back over the past year. Just observe some things and ask yourself, were those things present in my life? Was I, as Paul said, following after? Was I reaching forward? Was I moving forward? Was there a mark of a high calling that I pinpointed, and everything I did was centered around that focus? Does that characterize 2025 for us? Will it characterize 2026? Some good questions to ask. I believe the answer to these questions begins just simply this: our pursuit of Christ. That's where it begins. What began at salvation for many stalled at some point thereafter to never be picked up again. What was on fire in the early days of seeking Christ reached a plateau for some that never began to climb higher anymore. What some grew to enjoy and appreciate of his blessings became content and stopped searching for more. I would say that all of these are fruits of a root problem of not having a mind to pursue the Lord. I mean, isn't that what Paul was saying? Isn't that what God's saying? Brethren, we got to be thus minded. This is what our focus has to be: the pursuit of Christ. That should never change. We get saved, We realize how gracious and good God has been, and now it's an embark on a journey of an endless pursuit of who God is, of knowing Him. So by way of introduction, I'd like to share a few important thoughts that we should always consider as we follow Christ. And like I said, we'll leave it there tonight. If you just take chapter 3, the whole chapter, and you read all of it in its entirety and in its context, I think you will see the same things that I see. Number one, he goes through the fact that he can have confidence in his flesh. But he realized that everything that meant something to him, everything that had value in his life before Christ, now he's counting as loss because Christ is better. Christ is more excellent. And so the first thought that I have for us tonight is nothing is of greater value than knowing Christ. This is the mindset that has to start developing in our lives if we're going to move forward. Nothing is of greater value than knowing Christ. Anything in your life that you place value upon, anything that is important to you, and there are a lot of good and valuable things that are right, but nothing should take precedence over our pursuit of God, because we can never know Him fully on this side of heaven. He's valuable. Second thought. Our efforts can never be exhausted. But here's the key to this. Our efforts can never be exhausted, even if we are. The Christian walk can be wearisome some days, burdensome. It can tear you down to the point that you think there's nothing left. But the fact of the matter is, if we understand that there's nothing more valuable than knowing Him, there is no amount of suffering that I'm going to face in my life that decreases the value of the Son of God that came to earth and did everything He possibly could to grant us salvation. Nothing beats that. Nothing will ever overcome that. So my efforts can never be exhausted. Therefore, I should never stop my pursuit of Christ, no matter what I face. It doesn't matter if there's grief, He can sit with you in the grief. Even if there's gladness, then He's the reason for the gladness. Paul opens it by saying, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." You want joy for 2026? Study the book of Philippians. Let me tell you something. There's joy in ministry. Because the very same truths that change our lives can change the lives of other people if we invest. Can I just be honest? I want to invest more in people. I don't do it enough. I don't pay enough attention. I don't place enough effort upon it. But at this point, if I develop that mindset, then moving forward, I can accomplish that. If I understand that even in times that I get exhausted, my efforts can never be exhausted in knowing God. And if I keep getting closer to Him, then He can keep growing me and strengthening me, and I can be a blessing and invest in other people as well. Thought number three. Nothing should ever deter us from pursuing Christ. He mentions the enemies, the dogs, the evil workers, the wolves that are going to sneak in sheep's clothing. Doesn't matter how discouraging that is. It should never deter us from pursuing Christ, from knowing Him on a deeper level. If anything, it should motivate us to stand strong, to lock arm in arm with one another and fight, because it's a battle. And I'm afraid the church today does not have very many soldiers. If this be the case, then it ought to be our continuous effort. There are always new heights to reach, new depths to discover, and a greater love for and awe of our Lord as we pursue knowing Him on this side of heaven. But can I just say this, and does the text not say it? It takes a mindset. That's where it begins. When men get weak, when men fail and falter, it began up here first. Most of Navy SEAL training is to teach men that when you want to quit, you can keep going. I'm afraid we almost have no training in Christianity to tell us that you're going to want to quit. Your mind is going to tell you to quit. It's time to give up. No. We can keep going. Because there's nothing of greater value. Nothing should deter us. We have to be soldiers, and it takes a mindset. And I see Paul exemplify it so beautifully in this passage of Scripture. And there's so much to learn here. Now, I'm not going to get there tonight, but Lord willing, what I would like to get to, the thought that's here, I want to give this to you because I want you to think about it over the next week. And the thought that I want to preach on from this passage of Scripture is a mindset for moving forward. We have to move forward. There should be no stopping the church, and there should be no stopping our pursuit of Christ. We all need a mindset for moving forward. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again tonight, Lord, to just thank you for who you are. Father, we need you desperately, and we need to realize just how important you are, Lord, how valuable and how precious you are, and how much we need to rely upon the Word of God, as Brother Jake preached on Sunday night, Lord. It is fundamental and it is imperative to our health and wellness of spirituality, Lord. And so please teach us to draw close and stay close, and Lord, to just fight. And so I pray that you take these thoughts tonight and help us, Lord, and just prepare us for the days ahead. And Lord, can I just ask that you please make something of each of us individually, and ask that you please make something of our church, Lord. Help us to be faithful. We love you and we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Sam's coming to the piano. I just want to take a moment. There's still going to be an altar call tonight. Still something to respond to. If God has spoken to your heart, I'd encourage you to come to the altar. Even if you want to make this that moment where you come and reflect upon the Lord's Supper and remembering what He did for you, now would be a wonderful time to do that. A wonderful time to just reflect upon the year that we've had, and the year that we can have going forward.